time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week of Hidden Killers Live. I'm Tony Bruschi, Todd Michaels, Stacey Cole, all with me. Today, we got some interesting stuff to talk about. We're going to go through Chad Daybell's prison letters. That's right. Chad Daybell has decided to continue his writing career, this time now in the form of letters. He has a website, which his daughter is posting his prison letters by his request. It's his way of getting his truth out there. And we're going to go through a lot of them from the start. And bonus, it's in Chad's own voice. Through the magic of AI technology, we have taken Chad's voice and allowed him to read the letters in his own cadence, everything. It'll be fun. We'll see. That's coming up in just a few. Plus, also Robin Dreek going to join us next hour. We're going to talk about the latest on the Charlie Kirk situation, the murder of Charlie Kirk and the arrest of the suspect, and where all of that is at this current date and time. But to begin, let's start with something a little more lighthearted for a person who literally melted children in their backyard. Chad Daybell, diving into something that is disturbing as it is surreal. These prison letters of Chad, 5 separate writings so far. And supposedly he's going to be putting out like 2 or 3 new ones a week. So this is just like, all right, feed me. Let me hear more of your writings, Chad.
Substack, baby, let's go.
Oh my God. All from his cell on death row, mind you. He's awaiting execution for the murders of his wife, Tammy Daybell, and Lori Vallow's children, Tylee and JJ. In these letters, Chad is painting himself not as a manipulative figure at the center of the doomsday cult, rather as a misunderstood prophet. You know, it was just all a big misunderstanding. Maybe these will clear it up. A gentle husband, a family man, even a victim of media distortion. He's going to reminisce about his early marriage to Tammy, share childhood and missionary stories, and describe supposed near-death experiences, and even claims that songs like Whitney Houston's So Emotional carry divine meaning. Oh. If you need a little laugh, this is the one to watch. Behind every nostalgic antidote and spiritual claim is the chilling reality. The jury unanimously convicted him of orchestrating one of the most horrific family annihilation plots in recent memory. So we're going to break down the letters one by one, put them in their proper context, expose how Daybell uses faith, memory, and denial to try and rewrite the truth of who he really is and what he has done. So, let's get into it. We're going to start with letter one here, and we'll take a listen to it. It's about 8 minutes in length. We'll go through it. Maybe we'll pause here and there. This one, I'm going to say right off the bat, it's not as juicy as some of the other ones get. But we got to start somewhere. We got to get the opening context here, the pilot, if you will, into Chad Daybell's delusions, part 3, behind bars. So. Are we ready? Are we ready to take a listen?
Yeah, we are.
To Chad's letters? Okay, here we go. This is Chad Daybell, in his own words, letter one.
Hello, my friends. This is Chad Daybell, writing to you from my cell in Idaho's maximum security institution. This is the first of several letters I will send. I want to thank everyone who sent me cards and letters while I have been incarcerated. Your kind words of support really helped me. I cherished each one. I arrived here at the prison in June 2024, and I suppose you could say I've settled in. As for death row itself, I won't be sharing details about my daily schedule or information about my fellow inmates. As the newest arrival on death row, it isn't my place to talk about such things. It really is a different world in here, but I'm surviving, and I spend a lot of time working on my upcoming appeals. I express my gratitude to each of you who have been part of my life. While I was in the Fremont County Jail, I spent thousands of hours in an isolation cell. I wasn't allowed to have a clock, and it often felt like time stood still. During those challenging days, I would reflect on my life, working forward from childhood to more recent years. As memories came to me, I would write down the names of the people who had been positive influences in my life. I felt strengthened as I remembered my extended family members, neighbors, co-workers, school classmates, business associates, church members, and friends I have been privileged to know.
They're all like, we don't want to know him.
In so many ways. I am using this method to share my story because I want you to receive it uncensored and unfiltered directly from me.
Raw and real.
How I have been portrayed in the media. Frankly, those portrayals of me are unrecognizable. I am not the man the media has created. I am not a cult member who could be feared. I am not a conspirator or a killer. I never have been. I am a father, a grandfather, a husband, a son, a brother, and a friend with a firm faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Of course.
I have recently been able to have a few in-person visits with several of my family members, and those have been wonderful. I will always be grateful for the unconditional love and support these family members have given me. When people find out that my relatives have visited me, they usually ask them, "How has he changed?" My relatives give the same response. He hasn't changed, and he's the same Chad we always knew.
Which is a problem.
That answer after hearing a different story for so long. I am still the quiet, gentle person you all know.
Oh God!
I have always been a peacemaker, even now in prison. I have never caused anyone's death and never conspired to commit such acts against anyone. I share in your sadness, pain, and grief over the deaths of Tammy, Tylee, and JJ. I don't have all the answers even now, but I'm grateful a more complete story will be shared during my appeals process. During my court trial, I followed my attorney's advice to sit quietly, not smile, and not show any emotion as evidence was presented. I know that is standard protocol for defendants in the courtroom, but I realize now that it made me appear to be cold and uncaring, which is the opposite of who I am. I assure you my heart was breaking many times throughout the trial, and there were moments I couldn't hold back the tears, especially as I saw and heard family members suffering the same feelings of anguish that I was experiencing. A key purpose of these letters is to share with you what I had hoped would have been explained in court. I will strive to make each letter informative and worth your time. I fully realize many people will never change their negative opinion of me. In this age of social media, podcasts, and the merging of the mainstream media with law enforcement, very few defendants are portrayed in a positive way. All I can hope for is that these letters can begin to generate feelings of healing, reconciliation, and understanding. Thanks again, my friends, for the many ways you have helped and inspired me throughout my life. Bookshelf. When I attended Springville Junior High in the early 1980s, I enrolled in a woodshop class. The instructor said we could build anything we wanted, so I decided to make a bookshelf. I designed it myself, and it was about 5 feet high with several shelves. I was pleased with how it turned out, and over the past four decades, that sturdy bookshelf has become our family's most enduring piece of furniture. Beds, sofas, tables, and recliners have come and gone, but the bookshelf made every move with us, and my son now has possession of it. Our family's favorite books have resided on those shelves throughout the years, and I'm eager to share the significance of those books in upcoming letters. One of the most important books I have ever read is Life Everlasting by Dwayne S. Crowther. It was one of the first books placed on my new bookshelf after I discovered the book as a teenager. The book examines eyewitness accounts of more than 200 individuals who have ventured into the spirit world and returned to tell their experiences. It is LDS themed, but the truths it contains apply to everyone. I will be sharing quotes from it many times in upcoming letters. If you have any interest in where we came from before birth, why we are here on earth, and where we go after death, Life Everlasting provides those answers. The The book was first published in the 1960s, but Duane released an excellent updated version in 2008 with 5 additional chapters. I would recommend that version. Musical notes. I love all kinds of music, and in my upcoming letters, I will sometimes mention songs that have been the soundtrack to my life. Other than disrupting the flow of the letter by discussing a song's importance to me at that point, I will include these musical notes afterward to give added meaning and depth.
You want to make a playlist?
Most of my memories are tied to specific songs
like a Spotify
that
list.
Had an influence on me. However, during my first 3 years in the Fremont County Jail, I rarely heard music. It was a genuine hardship, since my life had been immersed in music before my incarceration. Then, a few months before my court trial began, the jail staff provided a portable radio I could listen to when I was allowed into the jail's ball court. The court was a concrete rectangle with 20-foot-high walls that usually blocked the sun, but it was nice to breathe some fresh air. There was a giant communication tower directly above the jail that interfered with the radio reception. But if I stood in a certain spot in the ball court and held the radio at a tilted angle, I could hear a few stations. A country station, an oldie station, and a Christian station called K-Love came in the best. At first, I listened to the other two stations more often, but as I became more familiar with the K-Love songs and their emphasis on Jesus and uplifting topics, I came to rely on those songs to boost my morale. And one song that stood out to me was I'm So Blessed by the group Kane. It has a catchy beat, and the lyrics include the phrase, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. Those were definitely some of my worst days, but the song helped me remember that the Lord was with me at all times, especially when the going got tough. So if you're having a hard day, click on the link, and hopefully the song helps lift your spirits.
So that's letter one. When the going got tough.
This might be my new book on tape. Audio book.
Honest to goodness, right?
Yeah, I like it.
And it should be noted, look, because it does sound kind of AI. Chad sounds like AI when he talks.
Does.
Like he normally he has the reading ability of a third grader, basically, where it sounds like he's reading something off of a piece of paper, even though he wrote it himself. His cadence is always off. So this is actually quite accurate. If you listen to any of his talking, his speech that we pulled from to create this, it sounds like this.
Yeah.
He's really a shitty speaker. And obviously the level to which he thinks people would be interested in any of this.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I was thinking about that. I mean, it is interesting. It's funny to kind of listen to, but if, you know, his self-importance of I'm going to write this because people need to know.
Yeah.
Well, is he writing for us? It feels like this is for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's that grandiose self-importance, mm-hmm. which all narcissists seem to have and are completely oblivious that nobody gives a shit. The outside world, but to them it's like this must be known. His the soundtrack to his life, and it's funny because each of these letters is divided up into different areas. There's like the beginning monologue, and then there's like a music section, and then there's some other section usually in there as well, but they're all formatted kind of the same way, where he's giving us these little segments of his life, almost like he's delivering a talk show every time he puts a letter out.
Well, he is.
He really is.
Bookshelf, and then pause. Yeah, and then his story about his bookshelf. Great, thanks.
Yep.
It stood the test of time.
It did stand the test of time. I wonder where that bookshelf is today. I wonder if his books are on it there at his children's home. There's a lot here. That's only letter one. We're just getting into the beginnings of Chad Daybell.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.